Christmas. Rick Wakeman in the background. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. This is Courts in Session, heard here every Thursday night from 8 to 10:30. With a replay Sunday nights at 10 p.m. So if you missed any part of the show, if you missed our mistakes tonight, playing the wrong promos, bumping the turntable, you know, spilling drinks on the CD player. We've had a fun night tonight.
There's going to be mistakes made here or there.
Those were intentional.
Yeah.
If you missed any part of tonight's show, and guys, we've had a lot of fun. Every time I've got the Stripester on the radio with me, I have a ball. And we're going to have fun in the post-show party. But let's talk about we just heard on the radio.
All right. We start set out with Blue Xmas by Miles Davis.
And I stand corrected because that truly was Blue.
Yep, Blue Xmas.
Blue Xmas.
Yep.
Joe Brocato. Joe Brocato, Christmas with You. One of my favorite soulful blue-eyed soul singers.
And then we had Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight by the Ramones.
Sending that out to my wife. That goes for every night. The Artemis Pyle Band. What a terrific version of God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. And if you missed APB a few weeks ago when they came to the Lamp Theater, sold out, word on the street is they're going to be coming back this summer for the third summer in a row to Charleroi. And if you have not seen the Artemis Pyle Band lately, they only know how to play on fire. Absolutely. One of the best live shows I've seen repeatedly lately. Just absolutely awesome. I'll quit raving about them.
Then you heard Jingle Bells by the Blues Magoos.
And Billy Crane, brother Billy Crane, he was in Pittsburgh 2 months ago with a great show. That was with Spooner Oldham and their version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing from the Southern Christmas Songbook and Hymnal. Great album.
And thanks, Billy, for the promo.
What fun was that? Like stripes on a zebra. So, brother, what do you want for Christmas? You know, all these people out in Radio Land would love to mail you a gift. What would you like?
I don't know. Maybe, what, a mistress for Christmas?
Well, let's see if we can do that. AC/DC, they're coming to town. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Mistress for Christmas going out to Jake in Mount Oliver. The case was closed. The judge threw it all out. And he's a free man.
WRCT is supported by Row House Cinema. Row House Cinema is a single screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme ranging from classic, cult, foreign, animation, fantasy, and more. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer in the adjoining bottle shop, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, visit their website at rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225. And don't you have a Christmas tradition that you like to play every year?
Well, it's that time. Yeah. Before we do it, before we get into a Charlie Daniels Christmas Carol, we do it every Christmas special where we close the show. Brother, Merry Christmas. So great to have you on the show. So much fun.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me, Eric.
And come on back. We got some more holidays we got to get you on.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. It's that time. Courts in session is almost adjourned. Stick around for the Charlie Daniels Christmas Carol. I want to remind you, take care of each other. Be kind to each other and be proud to be American. Good night, Pittsburgh. Merry Christmas.
Tell you right up front, I believe in Santa Claus. You can believe or not believe, but I'm here to tell you for a fact that there is a Santa Claus, and he does bring toys and stuff like that on Christmas Eve night. I know, it sounds like I've had too much eggnog, don't it? All I ask is that you wait till I get through telling my story before you make up your mind. When I was a kid, Christmas time had a magic to it that no other season of the year had. There was just something in the air, something you couldn't put your finger on, but it was there, and it affected everybody. It seemed like everybody smiled and laughed more at that time of the year, even the people who didn't hardly smile and laugh the rest of the year. You reckon it's gonna snow? I sure do wish it'd snow this year. You reckon it's gonna snow? Heck no, it's not gonna snow. As far as I know, it ain't never snowed in Wilmington, North Carolina at Christmas time in the whole history of man. It seemed like everybody in the world had snow at Christmas time except us. In the funny papers, Nancy and Sluggo and Little Orphan Annie had snow to frolic around in at Christmas time. The Christmas cards had snow. Bing Crosby even had snow to sing about, but not one flake fell on Wilmington, North Carolina. But that didn't dampen our spirits one little bit. Our family celebrated Christmas to the hilt. We were a big, close-knit family, and we'd gather up at Grandma's house every year. My grandparents lived on a farm in Bladen County, about 50 miles from Wilmington, and I just couldn't wait to get up there. They lived in a great big old farmhouse, and every Christmas they'd fill it up with their children and grandchildren. We'd always stay from the night of the 23rd through the morning of the 26th. They'd be Uncle Clyde and Aunt Martha and Uncle Lacey and Aunt Selma and Uncle Leroy and Aunt Molly and Uncle Stuart and Aunt Opal and my mama and daddy, Ernest and Nadine. I won't go into how many children was there, but take my word for it, there was a bunch. There'd be people sleeping all over that big old house. We kids would sleep on pallets on the floor, and we'd giggle and play till some of the grown-ups would come up and make us be quiet. All the usual ground rules about eating were off those days at Grandma's house. You could eat as much pine cake and candy as you could hold, and your mama wouldn't say a word to you. My grandma'd cook from sunup to sundown and love every minute of it. She had cakes and pies and candy and fruit and nuts just sitting out all the time, and on top of that, she'd cook three big meals a day. I mean, we eat like pigs. Christmas is also the only time that my granddaddy'd take a drink. It was a southern custom of the time not to drink in front of small children, so granddaddy kept his drinking whiskey hid in the barn. When he wanted to go out there and get him a snort, he'd say he had to go see if the mare had had her foal yet. It was a good, good time. A little old-fashioned by some people's standards, but it suited us just fine. If I'm not mistaken, it was the year I was 5 years old that my cousin Buford told me that there wasn't any Santa Claus, and Buford was about 9 at the time. He always was a mean-natured cuss. He still is. Well, I just refused to believe him. I said, "You're telling a great big fib, Buford Ray, because Santa Claus comes to see me every Christmas right here at Grandma and Granddaddy's house." "That ain't Santa Claus. That's your mom and daddy." Well, one thing led to another, and I got so upset about the prospect of no Santa Claus that I went running in the house crying. "Grandma, Grandma, Buford says there ain't no Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus, ain't there, Grandma?" "Of course he is, Curtis. Buford's just joking with you." Aunt Selma heard me talking to Grandma and walked to the door. "Buford Ray, get yourself in this house right this minute." When he came in, Aunt Selma grabbed him by the ear and led him in the front room and swatted his rear end. Granddaddy was also a big defender of Santa Claus. He'd talk about Santa Claus like he was a personal friend of his. And the more he went to check on the mayor, the more he talked about Santa Claus, or Sandy Claus, as he called him. "Yeah, children, old Sandy Claus will be hooking up them reindeer and heading on down this way before long. Wonder what he's going to bring this year." He'd have us so excited by the time we went to bed that I reckon visions of sugar plums ever nested in anybody's heads, it was ours. Christmas Eve night, after we eat about as much supper as we could hold, we'd go in the front room. There was always a big log fire crackling in the fireplace, and Granddad always said the same thing. "Children, do y'all know why we have Christmas every year?" "Because that's when the baby Jesus was born." "That's right. We're celebrating the Lord's birthday. Do y'all know where he was born at?" "In Bethlehem," we'd all chime in. "That's right. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago." Then Granddaddy'd put on his spectacles and read St. Luke's version of the Christmas story. Then after we'd had family prayer, Granddaddy'd always get a twinkle in his eye. "I reckon I better step out the barn and see if that old mare's had her baby yet." There was always a chorus of, "Can I go with you, Granddaddy?" "Y'all better stay in here by the fire. It's mighty cold outside. I'll be right back." When Granddaddy came back in the house, he'd always say, "I was on my way back from the barn a while ago, and I heard something sound like bells tinkling way back off yonder in the woods. I just can't figure out why bells would be ringing back in the woods this time of the night." "It's Santa Claus. It's Santa Claus." "Well, I never thought about that. I wonder if it was old Sandy Claus. You children better get to bed. You know, he won't come to see you as long as you're awake." Then it was time to say goodnight. All the grandchildren would go around hugging all the grown-ups. "Good night, Grandma. Good night, Granddaddy. Good night, Uncle Clyde. Good night, Aunt Molly," and so forth. We'd always try to stay awake, lying on the pallets until Santa Claus got there, but we always lost the battle. It sounded like the Third World War at Grandma's house on Christmas morning. There was cap pistols going off and baby dolls crying and all the children hollering at the top of their lungs. By the time the next school year started, I was 6 years old in the first grade, and I kept thinking about what Buford had said. I didn't want to believe it, but it kept slipping into the back door of my mind. At school, Buford was 3 grades ahead of me, but I'd still see him sometimes, and every time he'd see me that whole year, he'd make it a point to rub it in about Santa Claus. He'd do something like get me around a bunch of his older buddies and say, "Hey, you fellas, Curtis still believes in Santa Claus," and they'd all laugh and point. Away from adult persuasion, I guess Buford finally wore me out. I returned to Grandma's house the next year, not believing that there was a Santa Claus. Christmas lost a little of its mystique. Oh, I still enjoyed it. I even pretended that I believed in Sandy Claus for Granddaddy's benefit, but it wasn't the same. Well, as you know, time marches on. Children grow up and leave home, including me. I was living in Denver, Colorado, married with a child, and I hadn't been home for Christmas since our little daughter had been born. Dawn was 3 that year, and this would be the first time she would ever really know about Santa Claus, and she was some kind of excited. We had the best time shopping for her, buying all the little toys she wanted. Daddy called me about 3 weeks before Christmas and said, "Son, you know your grandparents are getting old. They've requested that all the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren come home the way we used to. Can you make it, son?" "We'll be there, Daddy." I couldn't think of a better place in the whole world for little Dawn to spend her first real Christmas, so we packed up, headed for North Carolina. Grandma was 82 years old, but she still cooked all day long, and she still enjoyed every minute of it. Granddaddy was 84, but he still had a twinkle in his eye and a mare in the barn. The old house was fuller than ever, with a whole new generation of children in it. Even Buford had married, but he didn't have any children. He didn't want any. One of my cousins said he figured Buford was too stingy to have children. Buford was still the same, except that he'd changed from a boy with a mean nature to a full-grown man with a cynical nature and a know-it-all attitude. Just before we went into the front room for family prayer and the reading of the Christmas story, I overheard him say to somebody, "I don't know why Granddaddy keeps filling them children's heads full of Santa Claus nonsense. I think it's ridiculous. If I had children, I wouldn't even let them tell them all that junk." I looked hard at Buford. I never had liked him, and I liked him even less now. Our little daughter was so excited when Granddaddy started talking about Santa Claus that she jumped up and down and clapped her hands. When I took her up to bed, there was pure excitement in those big brown eyes. "Santa Claus is coming, Daddy. Santa Claus is coming, Daddy." I got a warm feeling all over, and I sure was glad to be back at Grandma's house at Christmas time. After all the children had gone to sleep, the grown-ups started going out to their cars to get the toys they'd brought for Santa Claus to leave under the Christmas tree. I decided to wait until everybody else had finished before I put out Dawn's presents. This was a special time, and I wanted to enjoy it. After everybody had gone up to bed, I went out to the car to get Dawn's toys, and to my shock, I couldn't find them. I ran back in the house to my wife, Sylvia. "Where'd you pack Dawn's Christmas presents?" "I thought you packed them." I was close to panic, but I didn't want Sylvia to know it, so I said, "Oh, well, you're just going back to bed, honey, and I'll look again. I probably just overlooked them." I kissed my wife goodnight and went back downstairs. I knew I hadn't overlooked them. We'd somehow forgot to pack them, and they were 2,000 miles away in Denver, Colorado. I was a miserable man. I just didn't feel like I could face little Dawn the next morning. She'd be so disappointed. All the other children had the toys that Santa had brought, and my beloved little daughter wouldn't have anything. How could I have been so dumb? Here it was, 12 o'clock, Christmas Eve night, all the stores closed, everybody in bed, and me without a single present for little Dawn. I was heartbroken. I went into the front room and sat by the dying fire, dejected and hopeless. I don't know how long I sat there staring at the embers, but sometime later on I heard a rustle behind me and somebody said, "You got a match, son?" I turned around and almost fell on the floor. Standing not 10 feet from me was a short, fat little man in a red suit with a long white beard and a pipe sticking out of his mouth. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. He looked at me and chuckled. "Have you got a match, son?" I ran out and I wanted to get this pipe going. When I finally got my voice back, all I could say was, "Who are you?" "Well, people call me by different names in different parts of the world, but around here they call me Santa Claus." "No, I mean, who are you really? I just told you, son. How about that match?" I stumbled to the mantelpiece and got a kitchen match and gave it to him. "Much obliged, son." He stood there lighting his pipe with me, looking at him like he was a ghost or something. "How'd you get in here?" "Oh, I got my ways. I thought you were supposed to slide down the chimney." "That's a common misconception. Would you slide down a chimney with a fire at the bottom?" "Well, no, I mean, no, sir." "Well, neither would I. How'd you get here?" "I got a sturdy sleigh and the finest team of reindeer a man could have."
"But we ain't got no snow."
Santa Claus laughed so hard that his considerable belly shook. "I don't need snow. Half the places I go in the world don't have snow. Besides, I like to get out of the snow once in a while. We have it year-round at the North Pole, you know."
"You mean you really live at the North Pole?"
"Of course, I've always lived at the North Pole. Don't you know anything about Santa Claus, son?"
"Well, yeah, but I thought it was a big put-on for the children."
"That's the trouble with you grown-ups. You think that everything you can't see is a put-on. It's a shame grown people can't be more like children. They don't have any trouble believing in me."
"You mean you really got a sleigh with reindeer named Donner and Blitzen and stuff like that?"
"That's right, son. There's Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Of course, there's no Rudolph with the red nose. I don't know who came up with that one. Rudolph really is a put-on."
"What are you doing here? Why'd you come?"
"Because there's a little girl in this house who believes in me very much. Now, she'd be mighty disappointed to wake up Christmas morning and have nothing under the tree."
"You mean you came all the way here just because one little girl believes in you?"
"That's right, son. There's magic in believing. Besides, she's not the only one in this house who believes in me."
"Who else?"
"Why, your grandfather, of course."
"You mean Granddaddy wasn't putting us on all those years? He really believed in you?"
"Of course he believed in me."
"Well, why do you do this?"
"It's my way of celebrating the most important birthday in the history of man. Our Lord has given us so much. How can we do less?" Santa Claus consulted a piece of paper he pulled out of his pocket and started taking a doll and other toys out of the big bag he brought with him. "Well, I gotta go, son. I got a lot of stops to make before sunup. It's really been nice talking to you. Thanks for the match. Can I help you with your bag, Santa Claus?" "No, that's all right, son. I'm used to carrying it." I walked outside with him.
Where's your sleigh, Santa Claus? It's parked right over there in the edge of the woods. You can come over and see it if you'd like. I started walking over to his sleigh with him, but then I had a thought. I'm going to have to miss seeing your sleigh and reindeer. Thank you so very much. You saved my life. God bless you, Santa Claus. I'll see you next year. God bless you too, son, and a Merry Christmas to you and yours. Santa Claus started across the yard toward his sleigh, and I went running back in the house like a wild man. I raced up the stairs. Buford, get up. What's the matter? Is the house on fire? No, but hurry. Come on out on the upstairs porch. Buford grumbled as he got up and followed me out on the upstairs porch. But the heck he won't. Cold out here. Just hush up and listen. Well, we listened for a full minute, nothing happened. You're crazy. I'm going back to bed. Buford, if you go back in the house, you're going to miss something I want you above all people to see. We waited for a little while longer, and I'd almost given up when I heard it. It was just like a little tingle at first, hanging on the frosty air and getting louder by the second. It was sleigh bells. Buford looked at me and said, Curtis, is this some kind of joke or something? No, Buford, I swear it ain't. Just wait a minute now. The sound of sleigh bells were getting louder and Buford's face was getting whiter. You got somebody out there doing that, ain't you? Admit it, you got somebody out there, ain't you? I didn't say a word. All of a sudden, it sounded like somebody flushed a covey of quail. That sleigh came up out of the woods and headed west, hovering just above the treetops. Buford was speechless. I thought he was going to pass out. He held onto the banister and took deep breaths. Even if you believe me so far, I know you ain't going to believe this next part, but it really happened. Santa Claus made a big circle and turned and flew around the house. I bet he went over 20 feet from the upstairs porch when he passed by me and Buford. Old Santa Claus could really handle them reindeer. And then he headed west again, moving at a pretty good clip this time. I even hate to tell you this next part because you'll think I took it right out of a book, but I didn't. Anyway, just about the time he was getting out of our hearing, he hollered, Merry Christmas, everybody! And then he was gone. Curtis, you know where Granddaddy keeps that bottle hid in the barn. I need me a drink. I don't believe Buford ever told anybody about seeing Santa Claus, and I know I didn't, not until now, but I just had to tell somebody about it. It's been hard keeping it to myself all these years. I'm a granddaddy myself now. That little girl that caused all this to happen with her faith in Santa Claus is grown and married and has a 3-year-old girl and a 5-year-old boy. Me and Sylvia moved back to North Carolina many years ago and bought a big old farmhouse. Now my grandchildren come and spend Christmas with me and their grandmother. There's not as many of us as it was at Grandma's house, but we have just as big a time and we celebrate Christmas just as hard. In fact, Christmas is just about the only time of year I'll take a drink. Always get me a pint of old granddad at Christmas time. Since the grandchildren are so small, I don't like to drink in front of them, so I keep my drinking whiskey hid out in the barn. When I go out there and get me a snort, I always tell the grandchildren I gotta go see if the cow's got corn. Of course, all the grown-ups know why I'm going out to the barn, or at least they think they do. I always make my last trip to the barn after I read the Christmas story and had family prayer. Everybody thinks I'm going out to get me a snort, but they're wrong. I'm just going out to hear the sleigh bells ring.
Yeah. listening to WRCC Pittsburgh.
You forgot to say who you are and what band.
Yeah, I know. Hello, this is Reza from Le Vent du Nord. You're listening to WRCP Pittsburgh.
Spin your record, play it for me once more. Keep me on the dance floor, this rhythm's gonna break my heart. I wanna let go, dance in my own shadow.
dream. It's like a bad dream. Money's a fiend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. taxes and I'm paying all my dues. You know I'll never give up.
We're moving and grooving.